Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are chatting with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Now, Ed, we're chatting on Monday here, but we really need to recap that shortened trading day on Friday, as it really seemed to be kind of a COVID wake-up call, I guess, for some traders, where clearly the threat of more travel restrictions or even more shutdowns due to the brand new variant coming from South Africa. The fact of the matter is, markets fell drastically, well, fairly drastically, 2 to 3% down in a shortened trading day. And it really, again, changed the perception, I think, where investors in a way had gotten maybe a little complacent, even though I think we can keep expecting different variants to keep popping up. Fact of the matter was, this one, the early reports of it being potentially more dangerous or at least resistant to the vaccines, that caused some waves in the market. And then it felt like all weekend we were just waiting to hear what the developments would be. And really, it was, I guess, kind of slow on the news front. But fact of the matter is, right now we're seeing markets bounce back. They're not gaining back everything that they lost on Friday. But again, that whole Friday, I think, was a wake-up call to a lot of traders. What's your takeaway, Ed, from that drop on Friday and now a bit of calm, a bit more of a buy-the-dip mentality coming back on Monday?
Yeah, Friday was something special. And I think you saw some exaggerated moves, crude falling 10%. You saw markets all of a sudden, reporters were, they had a thin staff. And even... I think what was fascinating was just, you had thin conditions, you had options expiration, you had so many, reasons to believe that, okay, it should have been a relatively calm Friday where you're just focused on Black Friday. and that was not the case. And I think you had in just one day, dozens of countries restricting travel to South Africa. The fear was that, you have a fast spreading new COVID variant that was going to evade the current mRNA vaccines. There was that one case where it was a person that had both Pfizer shots and also a booster, and he contracted the virus. You saw Moderna shirts also pop on that. But I think what you're seeing now is just like with throughout this pandemic, whenever we would get news on COVID, there is this period of time that you're required to get a full assessment, and right now it seemed that those fears that okay it's fast spreading and we have no idea if Omicron is going to be more troubling than Delta, now you're starting to hear from the health experts in South Africa, and they've been giving a little bit more optimism that okay, it's not as they haven't and as of yet seen a big uptick in hospitalization. It seems that that Omicron is showing more milder symptoms, and I think that you really saw that, okay, this is not necessarily going to be a game changer for these highly vaccinated countries, that you're going to see that, okay, this variant, if it's milder than Delta, you could still see that the reopening trade, that, the base case for a strong growth story for the U.S. is going to remain intact. I think it was fascinating to see that, this new variant, it really made a lot of traders fear that, okay, is this going to possibly make the Fed halt for tapering? That was kind of viewed as like, this was something that we were, over these past few weeks, I feel like we've been heavily debating whether or not we're going to see tapering and rate hikes and how many next year. And then all of a sudden, it seemed that markets were already possibly positioning themselves to anticipate a possible halting of tapering, and now I think that you're as we get more data, and I think you're going to see that the CEOs or the top officials at Pfizer and Moderna, they've been very upfront, and I think they've been providing more optimism that, you know, as of like the Pfizer CEO pointing out that you know, they still, you know, ultimately anticipate that, you know, the current vaccine will, you know, protect maybe less against Omicron, but still offer some protection. I think that you're going to see the you know, these companies with these mRNAs vaccines are going to be able to tweak their vaccine. You know, they tweaked it for Beta, they tweaked it for Delta. They didn't have to roll out, though, these new vaccines. So I think there's still optimism that the Pfizer vaccine could possibly stay the same. But we you know, because of the, you know, these breakthroughs in technology, I think they would need about over 100 days. So even if this did end up becoming, or this variant leads to another variant that evades vaccines, they will be able to, there's a strong optimism they'll be able to figure it out. But obviously, you know, we're still far from the end of COVID. And I think, you know, we were, you know, for the most part, in expecting a winter surge. And I think you're going to see that hopefully we have more ways to treat this virus and we are better equipped. But I think the concern is we have to get a lot of these countries that have their vaccines at, you know, the sub 30%, sub 20%. And you need to get vaccines globally distributed. And hopefully the uptick will be improving, because I think this Omicron really scared a lot of people and have led to, I think, a lot of people on the fence to get vaccinated.
So, Ed, when we refocus here back in simply the markets, is a spike in COVID cases or government lockdowns or this other variant, really COVID-focused news, does that continue to be the biggest risk to the markets?
I think that it'll eventually, this you know, these spiking cases, and I think what will happen is this is just going to make supply chain issues even worse and last longer. And that's going to fuel the argument that, you know, the Fed is going to be put in a tough position, and that possibly they made a mistake in taking too long in removing this accommodation. So if you start to hear of Omicron leading to some shutdowns in Malaysia, Vietnam, those supply chain issues are not going to alleviate in the end of first quarter or second quarter. That is going to persist a lot longer. And if that's the case, then you're going to have, I think, more of those dovish members acknowledge that they were wrong on inflation. And that is going to lead to a very disruptive move by the Fed, which could, you know, ultimately lead to a faster rate hiking cycle, which is going to really disrupt the economic recovery that has been put in place. So I think you're going to see that reaction. I mean, like, yes, airline stocks will go down. You'll see fears that, okay, we're going to not have not even return to the office remain on track for next year. But you're going to have, you know, hopes of business travel will get punted into the summer. I think there's a lot of, I think, concern that you're going to really struggle and seeing large parts of the economy bounce back because of this variant. But I think there's still a strong argument to be supportive of U.S. stocks still. But if you do have a policy mistake by the Fed, that is something that is a growing risk. I think if in after 2 weeks you're still seeing, you know, the optimism that Omicron is still delivering symptoms milder than Delta, and that you're not really having an increase in hospitalizations, then you're going to see that we'll kind of go back to normal. Hopefully that will be the case, but I think you know we're still going to always be in fear of, you know, the next variant.
Well, just one more thing we should mention on that move from Friday on the back of this news was the huge move in energy. We kind of alluded to that, but oil really took a nosedive. And if you think back a couple weeks ago, oil was at around 85. It dove down to 68 on Friday. And some of that move was already happening because there was a build in some of the inventories, and there was six different nations of the world, not just the United States, but also India, South Korea, China, Japan, and the UK, all releasing strategic reserves. So that was weighing on the oil price and the energy sector a little bit anyways, but it really spiked down probably on some of those concerns you just mentioned about the lack of business travel and air travel, maybe the lack of mobility and lack of people driving around if there's future lockdowns. What do you make of the energy markets here? And do you think this move down is sustainable, where it's a new bearish trend, or was it an overreaction?
I think it was an overreaction. I mean, yes, there was warranted to see some weakness in oil prices, but you really, I think, had a market that just once you broke past some key technical levels, then it just the high frequency trading systems and algos just they made the plunge a lot worse. But I think you're right in bringing it up. There's a lot of I think there was an anticipation that you were going to get that coordinated a strategic reserve release from the U.S., China, India, Japan. It seems like the list kept growing. But in the end, I think, a lot of energy traders, they anticipated that just being a short-term, sell-off that was going to, provide an opportunity to buy. Then we had Omicron happen, and that kind of that really killed the short-term crude demand outlook, where some people anticipating, oh, maybe it's 2 million barrels less a day, maybe four. Now I think that you're seeing prices kind of rebound, but still, they're still well off the levels we were seeing a couple weeks ago. And I think there's other contributing factors to that. Iran nuclear talks, their first day in Vienna, EU saying they've been positive. I think that you're probably going to see that there is this belief that Iran is motivated to revive this nuclear deal. They need to do it for their economy, I think eventually you're going to see that you're going to probably have to price in more barrels of crude from Iran, which would be welcome news by much of the advanced world, but I think right now in the short term, you're going to see the focus is going to completely shift towards OPEC. These strategic reserve releases, they can only do so much. This is really we're still dependent on OPEC Plus, and I think you're probably going to see that they're going to have to consider halting any increases to production, and a lot of that is going to be probably rationalized by saying, well, look at the hit we're taking, the demand outlook is taking, and as you're starting to see more countries restrict travel to South Africa and also across Europe and Asia, there's going to be, I think, a lot more concern that the OPEC strategy was a sound one in making these decisions on a month-by-month basis. I think that the group is going to probably refrain from that 400,000 barrel per day increase, and I think that this market is still going to remain tight, and you're not going to if there is optimism that you over these next couple weeks where you see yes, there might be more faster spreading of COVID cases, but if we're not seeing that uptick in or significant increases in hospitalizations, then you're probably going to see that the overall medium and long term outlooks for crude is going to be supportive, and I think you're going to probably see prices eventually grind higher, and more importantly, be determined whether or not if we have a colder winter here. I think that Gazprom has been pretty Russian natural gas supplies are going to remain elevated, and I think that you're going to see that politics will be at play, and you're going to see extra demand for crude due to these shortages in natural gas. And I think that overall, the oil market is still likely to I think rip higher, and that's probably going to happen if we see Omicron is not a game changer in widespread nationwide lockdowns.
All right, Ed, we'll wrap it up here. Unfortunately, we are still very much in a COVID-related world, especially when it comes to the markets. And Friday was another example of that, where markets can really get turned on their head on the back of news on what should have been a low-volume, low-volatility trading day. One other thing to note is that crude just this month is down almost 19%. So it's been a tough week. Tough month for crude, even before some of those recent COVID news. So that's been a very interesting market to follow as well. Ed, thank you for your comments. We'll chat again next week. Hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you.